May it please the Court. Your Honors, when an administrative agency speaks on a matter over which it has jurisdiction, it expects its words to be heeded and followed. It is the fact of making the statement and its content that induces behavior in others, whether it be reliance or forbearance, action or inaction. This behavior-inducing activity by administrative agencies is the essence of regulating. And that is what the Court is deciding in this case here, whether that type of activity, the making statements or declarations that have the effect and purpose of inducing compliance by the regulated industry, can be done without the necessity of formally promulgating regulations. It is a flight of fantasy, I believe, if for the Board or anyone else to truly believe that the statements that the Board issued in this case were neither intended by it to induce compliant behavior nor taken by the physicians it regulates as a direction on how they should behave.
How do you distinguish this case from the pharmaceutical case for which Judge White, Judge Limple, and I dissented on the FAQ?
Your Honor, I think the main distinction here is that in PharmaCall 1, the issue was venue. It was not whether this was a true regulation or not. And what the Court decided is based on the venue statute, which allowed for special venue in the county where the regulated person was located, required that it be a promulgated regulation. And that was the basis for the decision in that case.
If we thought it held more than that because it talked about what are rules and whether this was a rule and said it was not a rule, then could you distinguish it, or would we have to overrule it to find in your favor?
Your Honor, I think it is distinguishable on the facts, on the type of statement that it was making, on its content. Here, clearly, what the Board of Healing Arts was doing, it was trying to induce behavior by physicians in their use of advanced practice nurses for the identified procedure.
Is the implicit threat that they will discipline a physician who allows a nurse anesthetist to perform this procedure?
Your Honor, I think that the threat is very implicit in what they said and how they said it.
It's not implicit at all. Is it explicit?
Right. When you cite the language in your disciplinary statute and say that these people don't have the training, skill, competency, et cetera, to perform these procedures, and then you follow that or proceed it with the statement that from the disciplinary statute that you can only give it to, you can only delegate duties to a person who is competent, then that's clearly a threat that if you don't do this, you're going to be disciplined, or you are at least subject to discipline.
Well, but not statute. Would they have to follow up that letter? Isn't that the real difference between whether you're sending a letter saying we're going to try and do this and officially promulgating a rule? Is if you have an officially promulgated rule, the rule has the force and effect of law. If you're just sending out these letters, they have no force and effect other than your persuasive authority.
Your Honor, I don't think that the legislature, in defining rule, intended that the statement has to have the force and effect of law. They have understood, I believe, because of the broad definition of rule, that it is the effect. This statement, and because it was released to the physicians' association, and because it was given in a formal vote as a resolution at the meeting, induces action by the physicians. It doesn't have, that's regulation.
Yeah, what's that in relation? Here's what I'm getting to, though. We have the Administrative Procedure Act that clearly sets out what you need to do to have a rule.
Yes, sir.
Then what effect does this other activity have that is not what's prescribed for rulemaking?
It still regulates behavior. It induces compliance.
Well, I know, but can you have real rule and a kind of rule?
I think the distinction or the importance is that the legislature said if you are going to have a statement which regulates, which would be followed and implicitly, I guess, has the force of rule because you made the statement and people are following it, then you have to go through the rulemaking procedures, because the rulemaking procedures provide certain...
So what's the remedy? I mean, you're invalidating what they happen to say. I mean, they're not trying to enforce what they said in their letter. They're not trying to enforce it. So I'm not clear what your remedy is. I mean, if I'm at a cocktail party and three members of the board happen to say, yeah, you know, I think this applies or doesn't apply, is that suddenly a rule? And what are you going to invalidate?
No, Your Honor, because they haven't formally adopted it. They have not disseminated it to those who are regulated or who have to comply with it.
But you're saying it's an act of an entity, which this is.
Right. Let me get clear.
Are you saying the board as an entity made a statement in their board minutes? Is that what you're saying is the rule? Or are you saying a letter they wrote to somebody is a rule?
The definition of a rule is a statement that interprets, implements, or prescribes law or policy.
Whether
it's one or the other, whether it's the letter or whether it's the resolution, it's both, because they both meet the definition.
But the problem is you have that definition, but you also have the Administrative Procedure Act that clearly indicates a rule is something more than that. That a rule has certain requirements to be a rule that has the force and effect of law, must have. Don't you have to read those together?
Your Honor, if you read them together, what it says is, if you meet the definition, then you have to go through all these other steps for this to have effect.
Is this business that we're talking about here, this procedure where the anesthesiologist is working in conjunction with the nurse anesthetist, is this a collaborative practice arrangement?
They can be part of a collaborative practice agreement, Your Honor, yes.
So this might be the subject of a collaborative practice agreement under the collaborative practice statute.
Under the collaborative practice statute and under the regulations that have been promulgated with respect to that, yes.
Because the collaborative practice statute, which is in the Healing Arts Statute, says that the State Board of Registration for the Healing Arts shall not deny, revoke, suspend, or otherwise take disciplinary action against a physician for healthcare services delegated to a registered professional nurse, provided the provisions of this section and the rules promulgated thereunder are satisfied. In another part of the statute, it says the Board of Healing Arts and the Board of Nursing individually cannot regulate, but the regulations must be adopted jointly by those two boards.
Right, and what you have here then is a case where the Board of Healing Arts has gone outside their authority and said advanced practice nurses can't perform these particular
procedures.
But
it's not a rule. No one has to follow it, and they're not trying to enforce it. You can attack it in an individual case.
Realistically, if I'm a doctor, if I'm a hospital, and I maintain a pain management clinic or a practice, and I get this message from the Board of Healing Arts that says, we have determined that nurses don't have the competency to perform these procedures, and that if you allow them, if you delegate these functions to them, it's a violation of the disciplinary statute, and your license can be disciplined. You're not going to say they're blowing smoke.
But your opponent argues that's an opinion. It's kind of like a legislator contacting the Attorney General's office and asking for an opinion on, you know, is the federal health care law unconstitutional? It's not been, in that case, not ruled upon by a court. But in your case, it's not gone through the promulgation process of notice and comment, et cetera.
Right.
Your opponent argues, and picking up on the Chamber's brief, that your position could chill communication and opportunities for entities to seek opinions.
And that's wrong. That's totally wrong. It doesn't chill that at all. If there is an exception to the definition of rule, which allows for advisory or interpretive opinions. That's not what the board did here. They just made a blanket assertion that no advanced practice nurse has the training to perform these particular.
But didn't in the letter, didn't they ask for, like, in, you know, give me your comments and what do you think? So, I mean, is that really a rule when they ask for comments back?
When they ask for comments back, my response would be that the board has one of two choices. And this is kind of what the board gets to in their brief. They can stay quiet, okay, because the board can have an opinion. What the rulemaking definition of rule and what the rulemaking requirements relate to is putting that opinion out in the public. So they can have an opinion. If they want to make that opinion public and want people to follow it, then they have one of two choices. They can either promulgate it as a rule and let everybody else come in and file their comments and make their assertions about what's wrong, what's right with it, whether you're exceeding your jurisdiction, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, they have to go back and then they have to tell everybody, okay, we amended this because of this comment, that comment. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to respond to that. It's a public forum for rulemaking. The other option is they can say, give us specific facts and we will apply those specific facts to the particular person that is making the request.
That's right. Now, that's what they can do, right?
That's what they can do.
Then this letter can't be a rule, right? Because it didn't follow the rulemaking procedures, and it's
right.
not a specific individual
right.
thing. It's a nothing.
The comment is a rule. They failed to follow the procedures for rulemaking before they should have
well,
issued
well,
it.
Well, but if they failed, it's an invalid
behavior.
Rule.
Right. It's still inducing behavior by
Well, but
by
then you'll at least concede that to be a valid rule, they have to follow the rules and procedures or the procedures of the Administrative Procedure Act.
The petitioners asked for a declaration that it was not a valid rule before they risked having it enforced against them.
Exactly, Your Honor.
No one claimed it was a valid rule because everybody agrees it's not.
But,
so,
Your Honor,
you put it
out there and you tell everybody, don't use APNs. Could
you ask the circuit court for a declaratory judgment that that this thing is not a rule?
Your Honor, that was count one and two, that this was not a rule. Count
that's
three
the,
had to
the,
do
the,
with
saw.
Whether they had jurisdiction and whether APNs actually had the requisite skill and competency and training to perform these.
And why is that appropriate in response to this? Because they weren't purporting to issue a rule that said that. I mean, I understand you're saying the effect of it could be, they didn't claim it was a rule they could enforce. They didn't claim to have. Excuse me. They didn't claim to have done all the research, all public comment, and so forth that would be required for a rule. But you're trying to bring up an issue they have not, which is to determine the substantive merits of it. For everybody, as if it were a rule.
It's still being treated as a rule by the physicians and by the hospitals who are not using APNs, because the board has said don't do it.
Yeah, but you can't argue that it's a rule and not a rule. How can you?
No, Your Honor, you can argue that it's a rule because the rule is a definition, but you can argue that it's not a duly or a valid promulgated rule because they didn't follow.
If it's not a duly or valid promulgated rule, what is? How do you say it's a rule? It's a rule
because
or it's not?
It complies with the definition
of
rule.
But no one's trying to enforce it except.
In effect, though, if the healing arts issues this rule, even though they're supposed to negotiate with the nursing group according to statute, if they issue this rule, the hospitals and the insurance companies are going to say, there's no someone going to jump on. If something goes wrong, they're going to jump on the fact you didn't follow this rule, and the hospitals and insurance companies are going to make that a rule.
They're
going to
jump on the fact that the board made a statement and issued its opinion that this is not a something that APN should be doing and not something you should be allowing APNs to do, and you violated it. Therefore, that's going to be problems in court cases and with insurance companies.
I remember having my eyes examined many years ago before I was age 40. And the doctor gave me a glaucoma test. And I said, what are you doing that for? And he said, because it's the law. And I laughed to beat hell and told him why. The law was a state Supreme Court decision in the state of Washington that said it was negligence for a doctor, an ophthalmologist, not to give a glaucoma test, even though the standard of care of the profession was that people under 40 were not within the standard of care. The court said, we don't care. Now, I was in Missouri.
Right.
That didn't apply to that doctor who was doing that. But that doctor thought that he would be in trouble if he didn't give me a glaucoma test.
And the doctors and the hospitals in the state of Missouri would feel even greater
pressure
inclined to do that because their board, their licensing agency, has told them, don't do it. Thank you.
May it please the court. I'm Patricia Churchill for the State Board of Registration for the Healing Arts.
What was this letter?
Pardon me?
What was this letter?
What was this letter?
Yeah. What is it in legal significance?
It was an expression of opinion.
An expression of opinion?
It's similar, very similar to the FAQ in United PharmaCal, which is it's a statement.
So it's a meaningless document?
It's simply to provide communication. Fundamentally, as a practical matter, this is a way for a board to communicate with its public and with the people that it serves.
Was it made public beyond being sent to the doctors that requested it?
Not by the Board of Healing Arts.
What was the purpose of the letter?
The purpose of the letter was there had been several communications with the board, inquiries about this procedure. And the purpose of the letter was to inform the people who inquired of the board's initial impressions about whether or not this was a procedure that was appropriate for delegation.
And what would be the purpose of citing to disciplinary issues?
Well, it's interesting that there is nothing in the motion. There was a member of the board in the minutes of the board's meeting. A member of the board referenced mentioned the disciplinary statute, but nothing in the motion and nothing in the vote referenced the disciplinary statute. And the letter to Dr. Kunkel only cited Chapter 334 generally, and it stated in the affirmative the ability of a physician to delegate procedures to someone who had the proper skill, training, and experience.
So you're saying the letter didn't carry with it an implicit or explicit threat of disciplinary actions if someone behaved contrary to the opinion of the board?
It has no effect in terms of discipline to a nurse. Because the Board of Healing Arts simply doesn't have authority to discipline
nurses. For the doctors.
For the physicians, any...
But if the doctor doesn't let the nurse perform the procedure, then the nurse is not going to be able to perform the procedure.
Well, as far as the effects to the physician, though, any discipline that would be brought against a physician would not be based on the statement in this letter. The discipline that would be brought against a physician is based simply on the statutes.
Mm-hmm. So but there'd be other sections in the statute where they could bring discipline against the doctor. It doesn't have to be on this letter and saying, well, by doing this procedure, by allowing nurses to do it, they're not fulfilling their responsibility. So there are other sections where they could discipline the doctor besides without using this letter.
Very, very specifically on that question, the statute that says delegating to somebody who's not qualified to do something is a disciplinable offense.
Yes,
so
that's correct.
So if you go against the opinion of the board's opinion is that generically, nurses and anesthetists are not qualified to do these procedures under fluoroscope. That means that you violated that statute.
Well, this is very similar to the situation in Missouri Soybean, because this is a very preliminary statement. The board only said it does not appear that currently these nurses have the skill, training, and experience. But essentially, if you disagree, send us more information and we'll look at that.
But if I'm an anesthesiologist, I might want to not do this because otherwise I'm going to be the test case and I'm going to have to spend $50,000 or $100,000 to defend myself in a disciplinary procedure. It's as simple as that. That's what they're going to do.
Neither the physician or the nurse has to wait for discipline by their respective boards. There is the opportunity for declaratory judgment at circuit court if it's properly framed, and that's what you had in CIRMCHIEF. In CIRMCHIEF, the nurses said, is this the practice of nursing, and can we continue to do this, or is this the practice of medicine, and is it something that can't be delegated to the nurse?
But then there's a 900-pound gorilla, which is the insurance companies, whose job is to insure against risk. They can just put a clause in their insurance policy saying, you shall not do this, and the hospitals won't do it. I mean, all the hospital care workers won't do anything if the insurance company doesn't insure. And if you have this letter out there, they're going to say, hey, we don't want this risk. Don't do it.
But is it any better to have no communication from the board? And everyone says, if someone approaches the board and says, can we do this? Can we delegate this? And the board says, I don't know.
But then there's the rulemaking process with the nursing. We get people to give testimony or experts to give testimony, and it's open to the public, and it's and people can, it's more of a legislative process if you're going to do it. A legislative process that gives it a lot more legitimacy than one segment of the health profession saying this is the way it should be, and that really will be the law no matter what happens. Whatever this letter is, that's going to be the law.
In this situation, the board did receive comment from people on both sides of the issue. And it's just a practical fact of the rulemaking process. It's not made to adapt to...
But if I'm an anesthesiologist and I want to do this, what you said was, well, then I can go to court and get a declaratory judgment that in this particular circumstance it's okay. But that this letter is still forcing me to hire a lawyer and go to court to get a declaratory judgment. Whereas if you were following administrative procedures, my association or the Nurse Anesthetists Association or somebody could be arguing this policy question for me rather than me having to spend my money to go to court to challenge the board's opinion that nurse anesthetists generically are not qualified to do this.
Well, there are a couple of points to be made about that. First, it's no better if the board holds its cards close to its vest and the physician has to face discipline and not just a declaratory judgment where it's being argued on one side or the other. The physician will have a mark in a way of having discipline brought against him or her. But secondly, the rulemaking process itself does not fit the rapidly changing practice of medicine. If you had to have a rule, if you start down the path of having to have a rule for every procedure, you could have a procedure that is perfectly appropriate to delegate, but because there's no rule, nobody wants to delegate it yet because we've kind of set this precedent. Conversely, you could have a situation where a procedure that was appropriate today is outdated or perhaps even deemed harmful next week. And it would be very difficult for a board to proceed to discipline because there's this rule that it's in the cumbersome.
So you're saying that your circumstances make it not practical for the body to go through the formal rulemaking procedures. So you ought to be able to bypass those and interpret the laws or make statements of policies without going through them.
Even more than that, I would say the board itself doesn't define the scope of practice. The statutes define the scope of practice, and the contested case process defines the scope of practice.
Well, let me take you back to the statute, though. The statute 536.010, subsection 6, says that it uses the language statement of general applicability that implements, interprets, or prescribes law or policy. Do you agree that the language used in the letter does that?
It interprets the board's opinion of the law, but it does not apply it to anyone. Missouri Soybean said there's an implicit...
It doesn't say that applies it. It says a statement of general applicability that implements, interprets, or prescribes. So it has implements and interprets separately.
Right.
Or but prescribes. Law or policy.
Right. But the term general applicability in Missouri Soybean was found to implicit in the term general applicability means that it is being applied. It must be applied to someone and affect
so
their substantive
it out
rights.
And mentioning discipline provisions in it, you don't think has general application?
No more than the FAQ in United PharmaCal had general application. It was a statement without any force or legal effect.
In practical sense, the work of the nurse anesthetist has been chilled by this letter because no anesthesiologist would want to allow the nurse to do this procedure because of the fear of what this opinion letter stated. What remedy does a nurse anesthetist have when there's this statement that you call an opinion out there that is effectively chilling them from working?
A nurse anesthetist could properly frame a declaratory judgment action before the circuit court, just like the case in Cernchief. Is this the practice of nursing?
And then would the letter from the Board of Healing Arts be admissible evidence to state the position of the board as it being inappropriate?
It's a statement of what that board, a snapshot in time of the members of that board, what they thought based on the information before them, the law meant,
but it would
has
be
no
enough
force
to
or
show
legal
that,
effect.
It would be enough to show that there is an actual conflict and adversity between two parties.
If what the nurses are saying is this is not the practice of medicine. It is the practice of nursing. And this statement somehow constrains me from practicing, then perhaps it's more appropriate for a declaratory judgment. But
it isn't correct to say this letter is a threat by the agency as to what it might do, or by the healing arts.
I don't think it's a threat. I really view this as communication. There was a lot
of... It really has a chilling effect.
Well, maybe threat has a connotation that's not good. It's a communication for what purpose?
Or a warning. Or...
It's a communication. And again, it's sort of... It's certainly better than operating in the dark.
But it does have a chilling effect. So in that sense, if the board has to know what it's going to do is affect conduct, isn't that regulating conduct without following the steps you have to follow to adopt a rule?
It is not a direct enough effect to affect the substantive or procedural rights. The procedural rights of a physician and the substantive rights of the nurse remain. The physician, of course, has procedural rights related to the disciplinary process, and the nurse could frame a properly worded declaratory judgment in front of the circuit court.
I guess the conceptual distinction between the two opinions in large part seems to come to whether or not to be a rule it has to be something that you're required to follow and you can be sanctioned for violating, that it can be cited and said you violated this. Clearly the letter cannot be, or the statement at the board meeting, cannot be cited in that way. But are there cases that read the meaning of rule more broadly to also be anything issued by an agency that's intended to regulate conduct, whether or not its violation can be a basis for discipline?
Address the Little Hills case.
Pardon me?
Isn't the Little Hills case the exact case Judge Stiff is asking for?
I believe so. In that Little Hills case was a situation where the Medicaid days calculation was refigured each year, and that directly affected the amount that would be paid to the provider. Perhaps that action by the agency was subject to judicial review, but that's not the case here. In this case, it's not the board's action that's subject to judicial review. The board can't even act to discipline someone without receiving seeking and receiving a determination from the Administrative Hearing Commission that this is an improper delegation. And even then, if the Administrative Hearing Commission finds that, it's subject to judicial review.
Let me ask you about the idea that they should go to court for declaratory relief, because the statute, the 334-104 on collaborative practice, says that the physician may delegate to a registered professional nurse the authority to administer or dispense drugs to provide treatment as long as the delivery of such health care services is within the scope of practice of the registered professional nurse and is consistent with that nurse's skill, training, and competence. And then the regulation that's provided for under that, for that is limited in subsection 5 of that to, subsection 4 of that the rules shall be limited to specifying geographic areas to be covered, the methods of treatment that may be covered by collaborative practice arrangements, and the requirements for review of services provided. So that the statute sets out a general permission, and the permission can be curtailed by regulations as long as those regulations are jointly promulgated by those two boards. And if they involve the administration of drugs, then the pharmacy board has to sign off on it too. But that's basically the scheme. So it seems to me that the statute leaves to the professionals and the boards within that framework to make these determinations, because how's a judge going to know? If you go for a declaratory judgment, how's a judge going to know whether a very sophisticated pain management technique where you're injecting something into under radiologic viewing and all that kind of stuff, how am I supposed to know whether that's the practice in nursing or not? Or whether she or he's competent to do it, or whether this, in this case, it can be delegated.
The regulation that you cited, Your Honor, relates to collaborative practice agreements, and that's not something that was part of this case. And perhaps within the framework of a collaborative practice agreement, there would be joint regulations between the boards. But outside of that, this delegation can occur.
So was this letter intended to apply to anything that's not in a collaborative practice arrangement? And it doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that, because it wasn't that. Those were not the hypotheticals that were submitted to the board to consider.
How could a physician delegate to a nurse or collaborate with a nurse and say you can do this procedure in the absence of a collaborative practice agreement?
Because if it is not the practice of medicine, then perhaps it is within the practice of nursing. But that was never presented to the court. The question was never presented, this is the practice of nursing and we should be able to do this under delegation from a physician.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, it's one of the things I would like to, I guess, address first. Has to do with the letters and the communications. I want to make sure that you read it carefully, particularly the letter from the board of Missouri State Medical Association. This wasn't, you know, just correspondence. This wasn't an inquiry. This was asking for the adoption of a specific policy. The language is very clear on that. And it wasn't a doctor asking for it. It was an individual signing his name as the president of MSMA and referring throughout that MSMA believes this, MSMA asked the board to do that. So this was a request for the adoption of a particular policy. And there were no hypotheticals. What it said was these procedures, very broad range of procedures, should be prohibited. So there was no hypothetical, there was no correspondence, and when the other two doctors responded, they weren't making inquiries. They believed that this was a matter that was coming to the board in public hearing for the board to consider and to issue a policy on. Dr. James' letter specifically references that. Dr. Kunkel's letter, you know, clearly this was an intent to participate in a hearing process.
What about the fact that here, even if a more definite letter would be, what about the fact that here it said on the facts you presented, if you have additional facts, please inform us? Did that make it not a rule because they're saying we're not making a final determination?
No, Your Honor. They have put out there, first off, that language is not in the resolution of the board.
That's great.
They have put out there to the medical profession that they can't do this. I mean, when you say, well, as of this day, you mean, do you really honestly believe that what they said was as of this day, but maybe tomorrow, you know, maybe a year from now, you know, that's pretty nebulous, but I tell you, they did not mean immediately.
Are those board minutes public? Those are public minutes that these statements were
the,
in?
The resolution, Your Honor, resolution is from the minutes, and it is part of the record.
So what about the sit-down? There's different aspects of balancing. There's a rulemaking authority, and as Judge Wolf so aptly put it, there's a lot of different groups that are involved in the rulemaking. But what if there's really a danger, some real danger out there, too much going on and too much controlled substances being handed out? And that is there a procedure for an emergency rule?
Sure, Your Honor.
That the Healing Hearts could issue an order saying, don't do this because we're afraid of the health
exactly
hazard.
Exactly right. And that's the thing. You know, the board says, was it any better to have no response at all to these letters? Well, yeah, there was an option. They could issue a rule. If they were getting a bunch of inquiries on this subject and it was something that was topical and being done, then they should have issued a rule. If it's something that's presenting a real danger, then they have the availability and the ability to go ahead and issue an emergency regulation that is effective immediately.
Okay. The exact motion referred to on A-17, motion made by Dr. Hauscher and seconded by Dr. DeFerrier, to notify Dr. Van Way, Dr. Kunkel, and Dr. James that it is beyond the scope of practice for an advanced practice nurse to inject therapeutic agents under fluoroscopic control. Motion carried with all members present and participating. So this was an action taken by the board saying that this is beyond the scope of nursing
practice.
This is a
formal resolution taken by the board.
If this had not been a formal resolution, if it had not been voted on by the board, let's say, for example, the letter in response was signed by the executive director of the board, and they stated they did not think this was appropriate and some of the same similar language, would you have a different case?
No, Your Honor, because it would still be a statement on behalf of the board that is going out to the regulated industry telling them this is our interpretation of the law.
Certainly wouldn't be as strong a case.
Would it have to be on behalf, I mean, if it didn't say it was on behalf of the board? You're saying it's because the board acted as an entity as opposed to an individual board member or staff member, is
right,
that correct?
Right, right. But even okay. if it was a staff member, they're acting on behalf of the board. Now, it might be a different case if the board had already issued a regulation and the executive director was writing to the community and saying, this is what our regulation says. But that's not the case here. Thank you.
Case is taken under submission.